If you run a business, you know that email marketing is very important. And you need a powerful tool that's easy to use and one that you don't need to be a marketing expert to see results. Because a lot of times, if you're a small business person, you can't afford a marketing expert. But what you can afford is Constant Contact. The folks over at Constant Contact, they're experts in small business marketing and work to make you an expert too. They have a variety of tools and services to take your marketing beyond your email inbox while maintaining your professionalism and the look and feel of your organization. They have autoresponders, event management, social media, mobile responsive technology, just to name a few. They deliver the better results from an easy-to-use single login interface. Even you could do this. Capture your contacts wherever they are and engage with them at key times of the year with the Constant Contact all-in-one mobile app. You can do this on your phone. Get measurable results too. Start working with Constant Contact. And why don't you try them out? Go to the sponsor page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Click on the Constant Contact button to get started. Constant Contact. Another day, another show. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Skyler Charisma is here with us. And joining us is, I can hear your excitement, joining us is a health sciences consultant. He's a scientific liaison to doctors and educators, the author of Dogtology. His new book is Listen Like a Dog and Make Your Mark on the World. Both are available, both books, that is, in the store at our website. Here he is, the dogtologist, Jeff Lazarus. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks a lot, Phil. Hello, gang.
Hello. Now, I know dogs have acute hearing, but let's make a distinction. Are they really good listeners?
They're incredible listeners. It's not so much that they're telling us, okay, go ahead, tell me about your day, but it's really what they don't do. And it's the fact that they'll lay there with you and let you go on and on and on and complain about everything under the sun, and they're just there with you, connecting with you, and they don't take over and interrupt and tell you what you should do and try to fix your problems. It's really incredible.
Until a squirrel runs by.
Well, that's a different story.
Or somebody inadvertently says the word treat. Right? Then it's all over. Now, in your book, I want to understand, the focus is it on human behavior or canine behavior?
It's really on human behavior or lack thereof. You see, we're really not good listeners, and we all think we are, and some are better than others, but nobody's perfect. But we do look at dogs in the book as an analogy, and we talk about how they do listen so well. For example, they listen with their whole being in a genuine sense, unlike a human's like, yeah, go on. I know I'm looking at my cell phone, but go on, I'm listening.
Yeah.
See, a dog won't do it to you. A dog's real, and a dog's going to give you that genuine pair of ears and a true heart.
Yeah, and so dogs, all right, now I'm feeling like a little competition here with the dogs. Clearly, we need to do things better, but listening and then remembering and processing what you listen to, that's another deal altogether, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and Phil, you're not in competition with dogs. Don't, because you're going to lose. See, we're all going to lose. Just don't do it to yourself.
Okay, I'll stop.
Yeah, but we're so busy processing, you know, and it brings to an important point. And think about this. As humans, we have an agenda for every second of the day. In fact, when we say, okay, right now, I'm going to do nothing, guess what? That's an agenda because we've made a decision what to do.
Yeah.
Okay, but dogs typically have one agenda, and it's us.
That's true.
Well, you know, it seems like, all right, maybe there's us, but also, you know how there's the, how many degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon? I mean, your dog has one degree of separation from Bacon. And so everything your dog does, I always have this cynical conversation. We're a dog owner. We have a dog. And my dog, you know, I must be the alpha dog because no matter what happens, my dog is always, you know, a little bit wary and cowering a bit from any time I'm in the room. No matter what kind of love I'm offering. But for my wife, our dog is a shadow and goes everywhere and sits everywhere. It just has to be with my wife no matter what. And so I say that's because you feed her. And I know it's a cynical point of view, but isn't that the essence of the attentiveness that a dog gives you?
Well, see, in a sense, you're playing spoiler, the fact that we actually are being used by dogs for food. Uh-oh. But, but if we look at it differently, that's evidence about us being the agenda. You know, you talked about being the alpha male, and that's what dogs want us to think, of course. But see, your wife is your dog's agenda, and your dog's like, okay, where are we going now? Where are we sitting? What TV show am I going to have to lay here and listen to next?
Yeah.
And that's the agenda. That's what's wonderful. See, we don't have that from each other. So if I were to call any of you over there and say, hey, I have something I want to talk to you about, you might say, it's a little late tonight, or American Idol's on, I can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
but the dog's ready to go 24/7, and it may cost you liver treats and a walk, but the dog is there for you at all times.
Yeah, and unless your dog is young and incessantly barks and yaps all day long, the truth is dogs are quiet animals who save their voice for important things. There's a certain unspoken power in silence, isn't there?
There really is. You make a couple great points there. You talked about unless the dog's incessantly barking, and then we put a shock collar on it, and ouch, right?
Yeah.
But it's typically the humans that are barking. Think about this. If your dog or another dog in the neighborhood was barking at night, you would remember it. You'd go crazy. You'd make phone calls, right? It's because it's a disruption. But when humans bark, which is all of us all day long, dogs have to listen to us. It's when we go silent, when the power's there, and we think that silence is what? Awkward. And we think, oh, my God, wait, there's silence in the room. There's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what's wrong? We ask the significant other. They're like, nothing.
Yeah.
Well, how come you're being so quiet? I don't know. Why? What's going on? All of a sudden, there's an argument because somebody's silent.
Well, we used to teach kids that silence is golden. I don't know that we do that anymore.
We really don't. And I use silence strategically in the workplace. Let me give you a quick example. I'll tell somebody, you know what, you make a really good point. Let me just think about this for a moment. Now, I won't do that today because this is radio.
Yeah.
But I would do it in the workplace. It's to set up the silence as a strategic tool. And people appreciate it. Like, what you just told me is important. I really want to think about this for a second. That's wonderful.
We make a lot of mistakes when we humans think we are communicating, don't we?
Tons. And in chapter one of the book, I call those leash law violations. We do things like, here's the one that drives me the most crazy. It's the one-upping. And I'll never forget, you know, a few years ago, I was in this car accident, and I was rear-ended, and oh, my neck, and I was laid up for a couple of weeks. I'll never forget the couple of cases where a friend would call me up. What happened? I would get about 20, 30 seconds into the story, and they said, oh, my God, you know what? You should hear what happened to me. And all of a sudden, I'm listening for 5 minutes to a story that happened to them 10 years ago.
I've been there.
Yeah.
That's right. And I call it one-upping, and it drives me to the brink of insanity.
You have to call them out on it.
You really do. And maybe I was too patient, and I was sitting there just seething inside, but in trying to listen.
Yeah.
Best trying to be a good friend.
Yeah. Dude, it's not a competition.
No.
Yeah. Wow.
What your dog won't do to you.
Now, I know there used to be the Dogtology website, Dogtology.com, I believe is still there, but what's your website of preference these days if you want people to get more involved with you?
Oh, Dogtology.com is definitely up and running, and we have a lot of great things coming with that, by the way. And ListenLikeADog.com is up, and we started to put some information. And
Yeah,
it's going to be fun to put some pictures of dogs listening.
Hint.
Yes. I'd love to receive those.
Yeah, send them over. The book is called Listen Like a Dog and Make Your Mark on the World. It's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Now, if I could just get people to heal, sit, and stay, that's saying something. Jeff Lazarus, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you much. Thanks for listening, you guys.
What?
Thank you.
I'm not falling for it, Phil.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Talk to you again soon. Okay. There we go. You have a dog, Skyler?
I used to. I had a Cocker Spaniel.
Oh, then what'd you do to it?
I did nothing. I let her. She lived, you know, she was actually the runt and only expected to live 8 or 9 years. She lived 15 years. So I did something right.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
She was the best.
Yeah. Best what?
Just the best everything.
Okay.
Best dog, best listener, best friend.
All right. Now, this next story is for you men with neck beards and those who love you. But first, I'm going to tell you about heat and cool. America's largest online distributor of heating and air conditioning products. It's hot out there. The summer months will just cook your house and you'll just be a sweaty mess inside that sweat box of a house of yours because you don't have heating or cooling. You don't want heating now, but you'll need that in the winter. So Heat and Cool will take care of you. They offer the industry's first hassle-free 365-day return on all purchases. You order your Heat and Cool system online. They've been providing the whole HVAC support for over 20 years. They know what they're doing. They'll meet or beat a lower price on an identical in-stock item from another online authorized reseller. And they'll beat that price plus an extra 3%. Some restrictions apply. Order it online. Go through the easy steps. Don't worry. You don't have to know what you're doing. They'll have you answer a survey, and they'll pair you with a perfect system. Click the Heat and Cool button on our sponsor page on our website. Make your house nice and cool for the rest of the summer. There we go. Now, Skylar.
Yes. Phil.
You over there with your stories.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's the everybody's got the Civil War neck beard these days.
And, oh, everyone does, especially where I live, which I guess shall remain nameless.
Yeah, and we're waiting for this trend to go away, but it seems like it's only gotten to the point where maybe half of everybody has them, and once we get to like three quarters, then the bottom half will start losing their beard to try to look like something else. But in the meantime, where are we exactly in the science of bearddom?
Well, here's the thing. Here's my question. To fear the beard or not to fear the beard, right?
That is the question.
That is the question. So whether they're hipsters or just plain hairy, you've probably wondered if our bushy bearded buddies out there have faces riddled with germs.
Ooh, really?
Get this. Get this. What? Turns out, as long as they stick to the basic rules of hygiene, mm-hmm. our fuzzy-faced friends harbor fewer dangerous bacteria than the clean-shaven.
Well,
do you
how
believe
is that?
That?
No, I don't believe it, because hair okay. hair just hangs on to stuff. It's like a filter. I mean, it just grabs things out of the air and hangs on to them.
Yeah, but if you wash your hair the way, if you wash your beard the way you do your hair, and if you maintain it.
Yeah.
I mean.
But look, I'm not grabbing a handful of some stranger's hair and putting it in my mouth.
That's true.
That would be lunacy.
So there were two studies, the first involving 408 male hospital workers.
Yeah.
And that study suggested that men without whiskers had higher rates of certain bacterial species and a full three times more likely to carry dangerous bacteria on their faces.
Mm-hmm.
Like one called MRSA. It's a really bad antibiotic resistant kind of bacteria.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a clean shaven person. They have more bacteria or likely to carry more dangerous bacteria.
Hmm.
And then the second study, I like this one. They shook the faces of stubbly and smooth faced surgeons. So they just shook them over a petri dish.
Yeah.
And found that beards are at least as sterile as clean shaven faces.
Hmm. This is a little like kissing a dog is safer than kissing a human.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't believe it.
I mean, think about it.
I think about where that beard's been.
Think about all the food that has been in that beard.
Not just food. I mean, just all kinds of places. Who knows? You know? Who knows what guys are up to?
You would think that it would trap all this bacteria, but apparently it doesn't.
And then doesn't your neck start sweating if you have a neck beard?
I mean, I don't have a neck beard, so I don't know.
No, me neither. It just seems sweaty, and then that sweat dries up, and it turns into something. What's it turn into?
It turns into good bacteria. I don't know.
You know what else harbors a lot of bacteria?
Mm.
Penis. And in the movies, penis humor has come a long way in the last couple of decades. These days, they even show it. They didn't used to, but they do.
Oh, that's true.
And for some reason, E! Online decided to put together a list of the funniest penis scenes in movies.
I saw that headline, but I didn't actually watch.
No?
So,
okay.
Please enlighten me.
Well, I'm not going to show you anything, but I'll tell you. Here are the six highlights from the list. Chris Hemsworth showing off his package in the new Vacation movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
And apparently it's one of those things that will...
knock your socks off?
Yeah, to get your wife or girlfriend to hope, against hope, that he did not use a prosthetic.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Jason Segel's Full Frontal and Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I can never forget that one.
You can't?
No. Yeah. I love that movie, so I've seen his penis.
I still don't know what it had to do with the plot.
Nothing. Boobs have nothing to do with plot.
But it was just funny, right?
Exactly.
Mission accomplished. Jason Biggs with his pie humping activities in American Pie. The nude fight scene in Borat.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like that.
No, it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I left. I felt anxiety when I was watching that. Will Poulter's spider bite in We're the Millers.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. He got all swollen up.
He screamed.
Yeah.
That screeching sound.
Ben Stiller's zipper mishap and There's Something About Mary.
How'd you get the Franks? Below the beans. Yeah. Love that movie.
Yeah, and that could really happen in real life. I'm going to stop the list there because it just seems to me like there was a time when the early full frontals happened. Like, what was that movie where the rabbit was in the pot in the kitchen? Glenn Close.
Oh, yeah, not lethal.
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was a full frontal in that one. But it seemed to me like they had to spray like some cold air or something to like shrink things up a little bit. Because if a guy comes out and if he's in any state rather than shrunken up, it immediately becomes porn. Right?
But how come boobs aren't porn?
Because a woman's body is beautiful. A man's body, I was told this on a talk show back in the 80s, a man's body is a weapon.
Oh.
I was told this by
I beg to differ.
A militant feminist at the time. But just the same, I mean, it's instantly porn if the guy is anything but completely flaccid, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
And maybe not anymore. Just ask Judd Apatow. Because his movies go all the way the other way.
All the way the other way.
Yeah.
By Judd Apatow.
That's right.
His next blockbuster.
Oh, we have a lot of stuff coming up. The summer's here, and it's the time of year when you want to look great in your bathing suit. So what do? We diet, we exercise ahead of summer. But then what happens? Summer parties, barbecues, beer, ice cream. And you're back to full-length attire in no time.
Yes.
Weight loss counselor Renee Jones teaches us how to beat those summer comfort foods from harshing our bikini bods in the next segment of this here program. We've been through a full hour of 2 hours, as a matter of fact. Skylar, how are you surviving?
I'm having a blast. I'm laughing so far.
Well, that's the point. We want to inform and we want to entertain and we want to put a little smile on your face. And we'll do some more of that in the second half of this edition of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next. To tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic LA Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.